Welcome to the Jennings Wire Online Magazine podcast series, where we feature interviews with top authors and experts. My name is Stacey Amaral Kaufman. I'm the radio director of Annie Jennings PR, the national PR firm behind the online feature magazine sensation, JenningsWire.com, a community of bloggers that share their personal experiences and wisdom gained throughout their lives. There's nothing like it on the web, and we invite you to visit JenningsWire.com to discover the blogger that is just right for you. And today's guest is Dorit Sassoon, an educator, story mentor, and writer who specializes in English as a second language instruction. Dorit is the author of two books to be released in early fall, Speaking and Writing for English Language Learners, Collaborative Teaching for Greater Success with K through 6, and Listening and Reading for English Language Learners, Collaborative Teaching for Greater Success with K through 6. So welcome, Dorit.
Thanks so much for having me.
Well, it's our pleasure, and I want to ask you this question because you're focusing on, the elementary school years with your two upcoming books. Do you find that those years are critical for students who are English language learners?
Very much so, and those are the building blocks that will determine the next stages and how they're successful in the later years. And so if they don't acquire basic reading skills, basic reading sounds, basic understanding of how language is constructed, they will run into problems. And that is one of the reasons why I wrote these two books, to focus on those two critical elements.
Mm-hmm. And now, what are the obstacles that you found educators are facing while collaborating when you have the English as a second language instructors, also the regular instructors? What do you feel are these obstacles that teachers face?
Sure. Big issue is time, and leadership. Not all schools have the leadership to help teachers find the time so that they can really collaborate for the sake of their instruction and their learners. So that's a big, big two-piece problem. And schools that lack leadership and vision don't necessarily have all the administrative support in place so that they can really focus on how to help close some of those instructional gaps in teaching. And that creates even more of a problem because then teachers are very angry kind of and burned out. And they don't really have the tools to cater to what they need to do in order to help support them academically.
Now, what does a day in the life of an English language learner look like in the United States?
Yeah, so this is a very important question. And because they deal with cultural issues and they are very aware of their environment and their peers, they struggle with the kind of language that we would struggle if we were to go to their country and try to learn. So try to figure, put yourselves in those shoes. Basically, they would be very quiet. Some of them are very reticent and quiet and shy, and maybe teachers may think that they don't know anything or they don't understand English, and they really are taking in a lot because of their unique cultural situation. Maybe they've only been in the States for a month. Maybe they just got off the boat, so to speak. Maybe they've, just been exposed to formal English instruction for a year. So those elements, those variables of time and background really play a huge role in how they are kind of reacting and interacting with their environment. And a lot of teachers are not always aware of those really sensitive pieces that come into play. So I would say that that's a huge factor of the cultural diversity piece and where they're coming from in terms of, what they've been exposed to and what language they've actually spoken at home and what status of English they've actually had. So a quiet learner doesn't mean that they're, let's say for all argument's sake, that they're not a smart learner. They might be very smart, but they're just taking things in, and it's a real process for them, and it's a real journey.
Now,
so that's probably the big answer to the question.
Sorry. It was a great answer. It was exactly what I thought would be the case when you are just, you know, I don't want to say just plopped into a whole different, but that's kind of what it is. And they have to be, they have to be quiet because they are absorbing and they're just trying to learn as much as they can. Now, while they're doing this and, you know, they're getting instruction, they're in English speaking schools, and of course they come home to their parents, right? Now, what do parents need to know about their children's instruction as an English language learner? And, you know, can they be on the lookout for any sort of signs that things aren't going so well at school for their child in this capacity?
Right. That's a great question. And one of the main questions that I would always have to that question is, you know, do the parents also know how to read and write in English? Some of them may not even have that ability. They might not even be able to read and understand themselves. They may not even know that there's a support and network at school where they can actually ask questions. So, but chances are because these ethnical communities are very cohesive, they may be able to get this information from other people, other families that have, you know, similar ages and ranges in terms of reading ability. So I'm thinking that many of them live with this tight sort of supportive network. So they would probably able eventually get information from other friends and family members. Assuming that they have that connection and they are able to, you know, interact and get information that way or from the school, then the next really big question is, can they read and write in English too? And hopefully they'll maybe get a translator or somebody to help them. And then assuming that they have some basic knowledge is maybe also helping them understand sort of the assignments, things that they can actually read and help them through reading aloud. A very big piece of language learning, hearing the sounds, building a listening vocabulary, anything that will support them orally, meaning hearing the language, would help reinforce what they've learned, let's say, in a school environment where the teacher really doesn't have so much time to interact, and then the parent also can give some information that way. So you're building kind of like a cross-cultural communication. The key is to really be in contact with what's happening in the school. When there's this disconnect between parents and teachers, especially when there's a cultural piece, then there's a huge disconnect. And then the student really does feel isolated academically at home and so relies on trying to make it without any help. And that's really difficult. So I would say the first thing is to really build that support network. And then also reading aloud is a very good starting point.
So now, Dorit, if our listeners want to learn more about you and maybe there's some educators that are listening in or even parents that do have children that are going through this type of scenario that are English language learners, they can learn more about your two books, Speaking and Writing for English Language Learners. Also, Listening and Reading for English Language Learners, Collaborative Teaching for Greater Success with K-6. Where can they find that?
Yeah, so there's two sites. One is under www.dorit, D-O-R-I-T, Sasson, S-A-S-S-O-N, as in Nancy. That's all one word. And then there's another site, www.givingvoicetovoicelessbook.com, also all one word. And there under products, you'll see books, and those books will give you links to, there will be links, clickable links, to find out more about them.
Well, really appreciate your time, Dorit, for an eye-opening, informative interview on some of the challenges that are facing, you know, our children, our English language learners in schools. And, of course, the challenges for the educators as well. So thank you so much for being here and shedding some light on that.
Thanks for having me so much, Stacey. Appreciate it.
This podcast is presented by Annie Jennings of the national publicity firm Annie Jennings PR and the creator of Jennings Wire Online Magazine, a diverse community of talented, insightful, and relevant bloggers that share helpful and perhaps life-changing posts and podcasts. So please enjoy more on JenningsWire.com and discover bloggers that might be perfect for you. Till next time.